Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird into the blood, or in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. This is the word of the Lord, and he will most certainly add his abundant, gracious, and magnified blessing to the reading of this is holy truth. I'm grateful for the Robert Murray McShane reading plan especially for our Wednesday devotions that allow us to get into texts like this here and there, because we might, unless we're going through a study of Leviticus, we would hardly ever get there. Leviticus is one of my favorite books. I mentioned this a few years ago, I think, when we had a devotion in Leviticus chapter 1. But it's one of my favorite books in the Bible, for one thing, and it's worth repeating. Because in Leviticus, it's, as in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, it's the Lord speaking throughout most of this book. I mean, there's no equivocation about it. No doubt about it. It is the Lord speaking. And so that's a blessed truth. The sacrifices in it, obviously, speak of the sacrifice they're all pointing to the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And here, in these first seven verses that we read in Leviticus 14, there's a blessing here, that the only place that man can put himself in this position, except for the shadows that are obviously like the priest, when a man is shown who has leprosy, he shows himself to the priest as instructed here. Really, when we think about it, if this is pointing to Christ, the only place that a sinful man can place himself is in the place of a leper. Leprosy represents sin, and what a corruption it is. It represents physically the corruption of fallen flesh in its decay, in its loathsomeness, and in its outcome upon the flesh of what sin does to us spiritually. As it does point to Christ, that is such a blessing. Because when you walk through the pages of Scripture of those who have had leprosy, there's only one who has actually healed anyone of leprosy, and that is God. And upon earth, the only representative to actually touch a leper to heal them is Jesus Christ. Even Elisha did not touch Naaman to be cured of leprosy. He told him to go bathe in the Jordan. No one touched Moses when he was cured of leprosy. He had his hand. It was a sign unto Israel. When Miriam had leprosy, Moses prayed, but no one touched her. The only one that could heal anyone of leprosy, according to the Old Testament scriptures, was God, and therefore a sign to Israel that the one who healed lepers was Jesus Christ. That's a tremendous blessing. This is why Jesus, when he said to the lepers that he cleansed, any time that he came around, not every time, but most of the time that he came around, because remember there was 10 lepers and one of them came back who was a stranger. But most of the time, under regular circumstances, when a leper was cleansed, Jesus commanded him, according to Leviticus 14, go show thyself to the priest. What a testimony and witness that is in the temple, because any temple priest that was assigned to go through the ritual of cleansing a leper couldn't do it until Jesus came. And when he commanded a leper to go show thyself to the priest, they had the four houses in the temple area surrounding the court of the women. You had the court, you had the house of wood, you had the house of wood, the house of the leper, the house of the Nazarite, and I think it was the house of the perfume or the ointments. So you had these four houses, and the house of the leper is like the Maytag repairman, the loneliest guy in town, because until Jesus came, there's no one that could come there, because no one was ever cleansed of leprosy save by the hand of God. And in the instruction, as a leper represents sin and the corruption of the flesh, we have the priest is mentioned. And of course, that would be Jesus Christ. Then the sacrifice is mentioned. And again, that's Jesus Christ. And then we know that the priest represents Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ was a sacrifice outside the camp, verse 3 says, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, just as Jesus Christ himself was sacrificed without the camp, so must the priest go. And the priest, as he looks upon the leprosy, Jesus Christ looking upon the sin as he hangs upon that tree, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Leprosy throughout, the blackness of sin, even upon the land. And so the priest, Jesus Christ, the high priest hanging upon that tree, looks and beholds the plague of leprosy in the one that is healed, all those that would look upon him in trusting faith. And what does he do? In verse 4, it says that the priest is commanded. And that reminds us of Philippians 2, because Jesus Christ, that great high priest, was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And God's commands was Jesus Christ's joy in obedience unto his heavenly Father. And he would take two clean birds. And it's interesting here that the word bird here is the Hebrew word for sparrow. It also can be used for the word bird, but specifically sparrows were the ones that were used. And they were alive and they were clean birds. A sparrow is a clean bird. Cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And I give to you that I believe here by many texts, but I won't give you all the proof texts, that the cedar wood here is representative of the cleansing of sin. Why are these elements used? Because the cedar obviously represents the tree. Cursed is he who hangeth upon a tree. And Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse as he became a curse for us. And the cedar wood representing the cross. It represents redemption. The cedar does. Then scarlet. When it mentions scarlet here, scarlet is the material, the cloth that is used. It would be a piece of cloth and it would be dyed scarlet. Why is that there? Because also within this cleansing and this one sacrifice that does represent the taking away of sin, of there are many that do so, but this has a great illustrative picture because of the scarlet. It represents regeneration and imputation. Why is that? Because scarlet is a material, and it is, and the scarlet thread of redemption of Jesus Christ's blood being shed. What do we have as cleansed lepers? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So you have that element of imputation, God's declaration through the scarlet. He who should be dressed in scarlet robes and purple, who is the King of Israel, shed his blood so that we might have the sins that we have committed taken away, propitiated, expiated, so that we might have reconciliation with God. And then it says hyssop, which brings us all the way back to the first Passover as we were in bondage unto sin. The hyssop was used to take the blood of the Passover lamb and strike it on the lintels of the door, on each side and up on the top. Three times was the blood marked, and also Jewish tradition says that it was marked in the sign of, using the Greek language, in the sign of chi or ki, which is actually the sign of the cross. It's an X mark, a plus sign, is what Jewish tradition says. Three crosses that hyssop was supposed to splash the blood upon the door, and as Jesus Christ is the door to the sheep. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Then this hyssop also represents that cleansing. It represents forgiveness. It represents the removal of God's people from the bondage of sin. And because of the bloodshed and the hyssop, it represents the forgiveness. So we have so many pictures that are here of the leper being cleansed. It furthermore speaks of the glory of Jesus Christ, not only in his death, he is the high priest and the sacrifice, but the clean sparrow, the clean bird, that over running water is the one bird killed, over the truth of the Holy Spirit being the foundation of that which is Christ in him crucified, and rivers of living water, the blood of this bird that is killed over the water, in an earthen vessel representing the tomb in which Jesus Christ, the sepulchre that he was placed into, and then 3 days later, empty because he is alive forevermore. And that is represented finally in verse 7, that through the running water and then the sprinkling of the blood, in verse 7, he shall sprinkle upon him that is cleansed from leprosy 7 times, meaning complete. The redemption of Jesus Christ is complete, and this is only a shadow and a significance in the truth of what Jesus Christ would do. Moreover, and shall pronounce him clean, a declaration of God, of imputation. He is clean because of the truth of the blood of Jesus Christ, and shall let the living bird loose unto the open field. Jesus Christ carrying away our sins, not only as the sacrifice, not only as the priest presenting the sacrifice and making that sacrifice for the leper, but also as the live bird taking the sprinkled blood upon his own wings and flying out, flying away. What a blessed picture that is, that Christ would do all those things and more, because we've only scratched the surface of the depth of these things, but that God would place this in his word, that we can see the magnitude of the cross of Jesus Christ, the sufficient sacrifice, and also the superior sacrifice, because even in the details, that God says not anything will ever pass from this word except it be that which reminds us, points to, and allows us to exalt Jesus Christ unto the glory of God the Father in it. When we see those things that are mere shadows to the unbeliever, they're it's disgusting unto them, the sacrifices. But unto the believer, unto those whom the Holy Spirit touches with these things, we rejoice. We cry out in joy. We weep over our sin, but we rejoice over the blessedness of God our Father in Jesus Christ. What details that he brings about. And if God would concern himself with the very details to bring about our redemption in passages of Scripture like this, and the Holy Spirit ministering unto us to testify of the truth and veracity of Jesus Christ to accomplish this, how much more is he who has gone through all that to save us and redeem us, how much more is he involved in every detail of our lives? Oh, what a good thing it is to call ourselves, I'll call our congregation Sovereign Grace Baptist, as we kneel before a sovereign God who places all things in order. That's the thing that we should meditate upon so much, especially these days. Yes, there's those practical applications that we need to attach ourselves to continually. But without meditations upon things like this and the cross of Jesus Christ, our practice becomes nothing but mediocre works at best, dead works at worst. But those works that come forth out of the truth of Jesus Christ alive, filling the scriptures with love because of the precious hand of God to make those details known unto mere men. What a blessing that is. Oh, Leviticus is such a wonderful book. I love it for its sacrifices, because it shows us the great sacrifice, the manifold sacrifice of Jesus Christ and all those sacrifices. They are not a disgust any longer to my soul, as I looked at them and thought of the blood that stank and its stench. Now it's the precious blood of Jesus Christ that comes forth from Leviticus through the hands of mere men, Moses and Aaron, sinful men, a murderer, idolater, that come forth by God's command to say, raise up unto us sacrifices of praise unto the glory of God the Father, because eventually Moses, eventually Aaron, it will come on to the Son of God to bring forth the fullness of that sacrifice as a bird who flies away. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, a simple sacrifice, maybe, of a tiny sparrow, but a majestic sacrifice, because your word declares the Son of God, Jesus Christ, has taken upon himself the sin of the world, and for all those whom he has redeemed for your glory, we rejoice because our sin has been placed upon him. May his righteousness, may we be clothed with that scarlet, may we be covered with the blood, may the hyssop be upon the lintels of the doors of our lives, and may we exalt the high priest and the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the sparrow of God. May that be the blessed truth of our hearts, that we may bring forth praise and bring forth practical works for your glory until Jesus Christ comes. In his name and for his sake we do pray. Amen.